We're glad that for today, on this 245th year since our independence, since we gained our independence from Great Britain, Tony. We have a tremendous relationship because of what Christ has done for us, and we're not Americans, we're not British, we're just Christians.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, listening to that music this morning, I can hear Tony singing. And that blesses my heart, Tony. It really does. We really appreciate so much, and we have a lot of partners that we can partner together in as far as taking the gospel into the various regions. We count it a real privilege to have been able to work in Brazil with a number of folks that were from Great Britain. And I know Steve's dad back there, he was one of them, and certainly a man that's dearly beloved by us. So anyway, we're happy to be able to do that. What I have to share this morning, I do it with utmost respect for the men and women that gave their lives that we might have the freedom that we have today, that our flag, that flag of freedom, can yet wave. Not only for the men that did that in the beginning, but through the centuries, through the 245 years that we've been able to celebrate our independence and our freedom. There's been a lot of men and women that have given their lives in war, and there's been a lot of men and women too that have given their lives just in service to our government. And sometimes there's those in our government that we don't agree with, but we do this morning out of utmost respect for all. And I had the privilege to be able to serve for a while in the military. And it's a privilege to be able to serve in a way of promoting for our country. I wanted to share something that I came across the other day, and I never knew this until I read it in our Daily Bread. Actually, it was on June 26th, and that's kind of a day that I get to remember every year. It says in this Daily Bread, it talks about the United States President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It talks about how he endured long lines of greeting people. And he was concerned about the fact that he felt like people just didn't listen to him. This is FDR saying this. People just aren't listening to me. And so what he decided he would do is one of these times he was going to meet with all of these people in a line, a greeting line. He decided that he'd come up with a little phrase that he would say to each one as they passed through the line. The phrase was, "This morning I murdered my grandmother." And so every person that he came to, he would tell them that. And he heard a lot of things like, "Good job, keep up the good work." "Wow, you're really fantastic. We just really appreciate what you're doing," and so on. And he came to the end of the line of the Bolivian ambassador, and then when he said that, the Bolivian ambassador reached over and whispered in his ear and said, "Well, she probably had it coming." Well, just a little humor this morning. And we need some humor. Put that down there. How many of you are familiar with the term dispensationalism? Okay. How many have heard of the New Atlantic Charter? I know one over there has heard of it, and I know another one over here because we've been talking about it. Well, we're going to talk about that here a little bit this morning in just a little bit. But I would like us for a moment to take our Bibles or our Androids or iPhones or tablets or whatever, and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Every time I come back to this chapter, Daniel chapter 7, another light comes on. It just never fails. And this week after I listened to Dr. Andy Woods and Dr. Jim McGowan about some of the things that have been happening, and about part of it is about the New Atlantic Charter, so that we can understand what that is. As I was reading that, it took me back to the book of as I was going through that, I listened to it, and then I made a bunch of notes on it. And as a matter of fact, I've got 9 pages of notes on it. Okay? I know we won't get through all of these now, but I wanted us to look here at Daniel chapter 7 for just a minute. We're going to start in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, this is the last king in Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. So it's a summary of the dream, okay? Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion, and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. And behold, another beast, the second one, resembling a bear. It was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. And the beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Okay? After this, I kept looking in the night, visions, and behold, a 4th beast. Not an animal that we know of, okay? A 4th beast, dreadful, terrifying, extremely strong, large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. Not broken off, pulled out by the roots. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. Lord, this morning as we look at this scripture, and as we look at some of the other things that we see going on in the world today, I just pray that you'd help us to understand with an understanding. And pray too, Lord, that we might have listening hearts and listening ears to be able to comprehend just what is really happening in the day in which we live. Lord, we don't want to spiritualize, or we don't want to make a big deal out of all of this, but yet at the same time we realize that some of the things that are happening clearly point to what's going to happen in these days that have been prophesied in the book of Daniel. Lord, help us this morning to understand, in Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of comments going down through here in Daniel chapter 7 before we look at some of these other things. This was the last king, and Daniel, through this particular time, as you read through the rest of the chapter, find out that he was really distressed and he was really alarmed. Doesn't say he was discouraged, but maybe he was. I don't know. But he was alarmed. He was distressed. And as you get through the rest of the chapter, we'll talk more about this next week. But we find out that he was having a really, it was really a scary time. The other night, after reading some of this and looking at some of this and reading about some of the things, that, the information that I have here, I had a dream that was not very pleasant. And I woke up and I was, it was just alarming. It was just the point, and the dream was unimportant, but the fact is when you have a dream like that, you wake up and you just really leaves you feeling really not too good. So we can kind of, and I'm sure we've all had those kind of dreams, and so I think we can kind of understand a little bit about what Daniel was going through when this was revealed to him. One of the things that we have as an advantage this morning is we know that what's happening here, as bad as it is, and when you read down here, particularly in verses 7 and 8 about this terrible beast, we know that it's part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan. And what we see happening today throughout the world, we know that it's part of God's plan. God's got a plan. God's doing it for a reason. And so we don't need to be despairing. We don't need to look at these things as, we're not talking about trying to make anybody afraid or scaring anybody. We're not talking about that. What we're trying to do is to help us to understand and prepare for what's going to happen. And God was preparing Daniel for what was going to happen in his life. This was the first of his visions, of the four visions that are found here, of Daniel's visions, that are found here in Daniel's chapter 7 on through chapter 12. Daniel was going through a rough time. But Daniel's life, in his life, he was prepared for what was going to happen. We need to be prepared. So often, we find ourselves in a situation to where we're doubting and thinking of kind of falling aside. Nero was emperor from 54 to 68 A.D. It was during that time that Paul was arrested and was in house arrest in Rome, under house arrest. He wasn't in the prison part. He was in house arrest. But it wasn't because of Nero. It was because of the Jews accusing him of instigating riot. Riot in the Roman Empire was a capital inciting riot was a capital offense, punishable by death. In other words, if you incited a riot and tried to get people to go out and riot and do like what we've been seeing happening throughout our time here in recent months, you could be killed for it. That wasn't the reason Paul was there at this time. Paul was freed. And then later on, somewhere around 66 A.D., it's not recorded in Acts, but Paul was arrested again. The details are a little bit sketchy, but this time he was in Roman prison. This was after the Roman fire, where Rome burnt down. It's believed that Nero started it himself to try to lay the blame on Christians, because Christians at this time, this is when the real persecution of Christians really began, was sometime there in the mid-60s A.D. During that 14-year reign of Nero, it was a real nightmare for Christians. Many were martyred for the faith, but some fell away. We read about that over in Hebrews. We talked about that some time ago, about being encouraged to not fall away, to go back. And we know that some fell away. Why? Well, I believe one of the reasons was is they, they were not prepared for what was to come. Kind of like the 10 virgins, huh? The 10 virgins, 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. 5 came prepared, and 5 didn't come prepared. Why weren't they prepared? Why did they procrastinate? Was it because they had too much to do? Or was it because there was too much fun to be had? Or was it because they were just too lazy to try to get prepared? Don't know. But we know that 5 of them didn't get to participate in the ceremony with the bridegroom. And what we're talking about this morning is being prepared, and God has given us His Word that we can be prepared for what is happening and what is going to happen, what's going to come. We know that these things are coming. And frankly, there's nothing we can do to stop it. And one thing that I want us to understand is I don't encourage anybody to start taking up arms. Okay? Jesus told Peter Jesus was going to be arrested, and after he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, Jesus had, put it back on. He said, "Peter, put your sword up." And the reason he told him to put his sword up is because that had to happen. And what we see happening now has to happen so we can put our swords up. We don't need to have a sword. The battle belongs to God. We get in a storm, and we know that God doesn't always calm the storm, but He can calm our heart. What's more difficult is to calm the storm or to calm my heart? I know that it's more difficult for God to calm my heart than it is to calm the storm. And yet a lot of times He doesn't calm the storm because He wants to calm my heart. Persecution of Christianity that we see happening today shows strong promise of gaining strength in the days to come. And we're going to see that here literally in just a little bit. Okay, what I want to relate to us this morning is information on globalism, international and domestic persecution, and the Middle East meltdown. All of this information that I had this morning is less than a month old. Okay? A lot of it is days old. Okay? The first thing that I want us to think about this morning, this globalism. Globalism, as you look down through this report, globalism is mentioned over and over and over again. I believe that because of the situation within the last election was because of the stand against globalism. Globalism isn't something new. Globalism isn't something that is just now starting to happen. Globalism actually has been a real plan in our government leaders for about 100 years. Globalism and the New Atlantic Charter. And since we haven't heard much about this, I want us to understand that this charter, what it really is a treaty to create an alliance between the U.S. and Europe and block them together into a region that will empower a bunch of international bureaucracies that we don't get to vote for, that will monitor monitor, and control this new region. All of this will be on our control. The following statements that I have here are only, there are 8 points in the New Atlantic Charter that are written. The New Atlantic Charter was done by President Biden and Prime Minister Boris Johnson of England. This document was signed back on June the 10th during the G7 summit on the sidelines. It's been very quiet. I haven't heard about this on the news. I wasn't aware of it until I came across this every Friday. Bob's the one that kind of got me started on this. It's called Pastor's Point of View. Andy Woods is the one that heads it up, and they do this Pastor's Point of View every Friday. And I hadn't heard of this until I listened to their broadcast, not this last Friday, but the Friday before. We're only going to talk about four of the points. The first thing that they say in the Charter, first, we resolve to defend the principles, values, and institutions of democracy and open societies which drive our own national strength and our alliances. We must ensure that democracies, starting with our own, can deliver on solving the critical issues of our time. We will champion transparency, uphold the rule of law, and support civil society and independent media. We will also confront injustice and inequality and defend the inherent dignity of human rights of all individuals. Does that really sound bad? Doesn't sound so bad, does it? But what are they really saying? When you understand the language that they're losing, I want to. When I began to understand what this was really all about, I want to tell you, and even now the hair kind of sticks up on the back of my neck. It just kind of, it gives you a very uneasy feeling. Did you hear that one statement there? Open societies. They're going to defend open society. You know what open society is? Open society, one thing, is open borders. Are open borders good? Are open boundaries good? What happens if you're raising your children and you don't give them boundaries? We know what happens, okay? If we don't have boundaries, something is going to happen that's not going to be pleasant. But it's more than open boundaries. What they mean by open societies is not freedom to be able to just do what we want to do, but are open borders that include more taxes, increased government spending, immigration entitlements for legal and illegal immigrants. Legal and illegal. Okay. It devaluates citizenship, but it promotes feminism, free abortions, affirmative actions, and sex and gender rights. When they say respect the dignity of all, to not respect, but to protect the dignity of all, that's what they're talking about. That's really what's happening. Along with this, another note in here, George Soros defines open society in his article called The Capitalist Threat in February 1997, Atlantic Monthly. This is what George Soros said. Societies derive their cohesion from shared values, religion, history, and tradition. When a society does not have boundaries, where are the shared values found? the concept of open society itself. You get from within the open societies itself. The second thing that is in this New Atlantic Charter, they say, we intend to strengthen the institutions, government rule, we intend to strengthen the institutions, the law and norms that sustain international cooperation. These are laws to help international cooperation, that we can cooperate with everybody else around the world. To sustain international cooperation, to adapt them, get this, to adapt them to meet the new challenges of the 21st century and guard against those who would undermine them. Who are the ones that would undermine these principles? People like us. Further, they say, we will work through the rules-based international order, not our own independent rules of order, but the rules-based international order. That is why you see the attack on our Constitution, because our Constitution prohibits it. This particular charter that was signed by President Biden and Prime Minister Boris Johnson is clearly unconstitutional. The Constitution says that you can't make treaties except it be approved by the Senate. And the Senate has not approved this. We're going to work through rules-based international order. This is why the left is trying to get rid of the Constitution, to tackle global challenges together, embrace the promise, and manage the peril of emerging technologies, promote economic advancement, which is nothing more than redistribution of wealth, and enable open, fair trade between the nations. That was item number 2. I'm going to skip down to item number 6. It says, we commit to continue building an inclusive, fair, climate-friendly, sustainable, rules-based global economy for the 21st century. Get that? Let me read that again for you. We don't want to miss this one. We commit to continue building an inclusive, fair, climate-friendly, sustainable, rules-based global economy. Rules-based global economy. We will strengthen financial stability and transparency, looking into our private affairs. That's what transparency is. What they're talking about there is one world currency. That's how they're going to be able to manage this, is by one world currency. What's going to develop out of it? Time will tell. They're going to fight corruption and illicit finance and innovate and compete through high labor and environmental standards controlled by the government. Illicit finance and innovate and compete through high labor and environmental standards. 7th, I need to move on here. The world has reached a critical point. This is what they're saying. This is in the charter. The world has reached a critical point where it must act urgently and ambitiously to tackle the climate crisis, protect biodiversity, and sustain nature. Our countries will prioritize these issues in all our international action. Note, manufacturer crisis that will be enforced by the International Monitoring Bureau. The ones that are going to monitor all of this is not from within our own borders, but it's in this block that's created through the Atlantic Charter to bring the U.S. and the European Union, the European together into one block. That's going to create some kind of a superpower. You talk about the United States. And for a long time, I wondered about with the United States and how all of these things are going to play into it and how the United States is going to play into it. And for a long time, I thought about, well, what is all of this about with the U.S.? And the U.S. isn't really mentioned in prophecy. Well, I'm not so sure it's not mentioned. It's just not mentioned as the United States. It's mentioned as a bloc. I want to just make this comment here. I'm going to have to end this here pretty quick with this report. But I want to make a comment along this line. It talks about 10 horns in Daniel. When I read this, and I want to just break this for just a minute before I finish it. When I read this, it says, this beast was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. But then, in verse 8 of Daniel 7, it says, while Daniel was contemplating and thinking about the horns, he's thinking about these horns, behold, another horn came up. A little one. Insignificant. I believe, because of my dispensational understanding of the scripture, is that this is referring to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to actually come out of these 10 nations. If we have time, we go over to Revelation, particularly chapter 13 and chapter 17, where it talks about this very thing, about the 10 horns and the 7 heads of the beast. We'll talk about that more at another time. But right now, thinking about creating this block. Now, I'm not saying this is part of one of the 10 horns. But we know from looking into the plans that have been laid out for globalism, part of that is dividing the world into 10 regions. 10 regions. Is that the 10 horns that's spoken of in Daniel? Personally, I would really lean that way. That these 10 regions that are planned within the globalist society, the people that are promoting globalism, Soros, Bill Gates, and so on, goes the list, okay? Our present administration. One other point here on this charter. I think maybe you might know that this one's coming. I don't know, maybe not. The eighth thing, the eighth one, the last one that's in this, that before Joseph R. Biden Jr. and Boris Johnson MP signed this, he says, we recognize the catastrophic impact of health crisis. And the global good in strengthening our collective defenses against health threats. We commit to continue to collaborate to strengthen health systems and advance our health protections and to assist others to do the same. Tom and Crean have their Latham Center appointment. They're not mad and leaving. All right. Another thing that I wanted to mention here about this before we get out of it is the thing about equality. They're not talking about equal opportunity. Hey, I'm in favor of equal opportunity for everybody. I want everybody to have an opportunity to make a living, to choose where they want to live, to do what they are wanting to do, and to be able to build what we call the American dream. You know, I want everybody to have an equal opportunity. They're not talking about that. What they're talking about is equality of outcome. The outcome. It's not about whether I decide I'm going to go to work every day and I'm going to put some money in savings and I'm going to get a savings account, an investment account, a retirement account, and I'm going to pay for my new car and for my house. That's okay. It's talking about the outcome. That we can all have the same outcome. In other words, we are all equal as far as how much money we get. We've been involved in missionary work for a good many years. Some of our missionaries scrape to get by. And some have more than they need. It's not about equality of outcome. One of the things that is being used in this is critical race theory. It promotes CRT and what it stands for. We've talked about that. The systemic racism, gender identity, wealth redistribution, Black Lives Matter, and so on. But what they want to do is they want to eliminate hate speech. I'm sure all of us are against hate speech. But not the kind of hate speech they're talking about. Because what I have talked about this morning is considered hate speech. Alex Newman of the New American Press just wrote this. He warns that the advancement of global world order is the long-time globalist dream of merging the United States with the nations of Europe under an unaccountable new Atlantic charter. There's no accountability. It's by the Bureau of the government there that's going to be accountable to itself. Further, the document advances a dizzying array of international big government schemes, including sustainable development. How many have heard that statement, sustainable development? I know you all have, but you may not have realized you were hearing it. We're going to talk more about that later on. Sustainable development. We're going to talk about that later. But simply, let's give you this example. Going around Sanford, if you've lived around here very long, what have you seen happening but the tremendous amount of development of large apartment buildings? You go out Lake Mary Boulevard, You go out 46, out to I-4, that big new complex they put out there, and they've just stacked them one on top of the other. There is talk about right now over on the corner of Mellonville and Seminole Boulevard, right around that corner there by the lake. They're talking about tearing that all down and building a big complex in there. Sustainable development says that by the year of 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. And what what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to get all of the people, population, into these large areas, small areas with big complexes to get people living together. And there's going to be a lot of places where there's not any construction. You're not going to be allowed to build there. We see this happening over and over again. I want to close with this. But none of this is new. It's not a new thing. The historical record shows deep state globalists have been obsessed with the plot for almost a century. The goal is the radical transformation on par with the unprecedented expansion of government under FDR. That's where we can go back in our recent history and find that was where the biggest expansion of government came from. Did you know that there used to be, that there's been already been an Atlantic charter or treaty? It was signed by FDR and Winston Churchill in 1941. That controversial 80-year-old document vowed to seek the disarmament of nations and build a new world order. This was particularly after the quashing of the national socialistic Nazi tyranny in Europe. This new document that was signed on the sidelines of the G7 meetings in Cornwall, England this month, that was June, not July, reeks of brazen globalism too. For instance, under the guise of creating peaceful and prosperous future, the two rulers said they intend to strengthen the institutions, laws, and norms that sustain international cooperation to adapt them to meet the new challenges of the 21st century and guard against those that would undermine them. That's anyone who wants to try to interfere or express their desire against this. In other words, the institutions of global governments will be strengthened and further empowered over nations and peoples, while efforts to undermine critics will be stepped up. We will work through the rules-based international order to tackle global challenges together. None of this should be really surprising to us after we listen to the rhetoric of the campaign, the last campaign. Build back better. Any globalist will tell you what build back better really means. And what it means is a marketing term for big government globalism developed by the UN and embraced by Prime Minister Boris Johnson and other leaders ready to sell out their nations. Indeed, Biden's support for the Green New Deal type extremism masquerading as environmentalism was a dead giveaway as to which way he would go. In February, Biden declared the transatlantic is back. I missed it. I never heard it, but I know he said it. It's recorded that he said it. Further evidence of Biden's leanings comes from his time as vice president. In fact, the Atlantic Charter scheme appears to be an effort to resurrect the ideas behind the Obama-backed globalist scheme known as the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the TTIP, which would have laid the groundwork for eventually merging the United States and the European Union under a supranational regime similar to the one ruling already in the EU. Former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger spelled it out clearly. You remember Henry Kissinger back in the 80s? Okay? I do. And the rumor was going around that maybe he was the false prophet or the Antichrist, you know? Well, as you call that into recollection, you can understand what he's saying. What he said, he spelled it out clearly in his new book, World Order. The contemporary quest for world order, world government, will require a coherent strategy to establish a concept of order. Regional government. Establish a concept of order within the various regions and to relate these regional orders to one another. While I was contemplating the ten horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up from among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out. And I close with this verse, in verse 23 of Daniel 7. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all of the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth. All of the world empires to this present time, we know it has not been the entire world, the entire earth. And here it says, will devour the whole earth. And tread down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones, and will subdue three kings. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. But I like this in verse 26. It says, but the court will set for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. God's plan. We don't need to fear. We don't need to cower. We need to trust. And we trust Christ this morning. Not only do I trust Christ alone for my eternal destiny, I trust in Him alone for the provision that I need to go through whatever the Lord brings our way. I'm saved by faith for all eternity. But it's not my strength, it's not my will to do, it's my faith in what Christ has promised me. My faith and your faith is in Christ this morning, to deliver us through these days. We know that the time is coming that He's going to call His church. Father, this morning, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the plain understanding that You give to us through Your Word. It's not complicated to understand. If we just read it the way You've intended us to read it, to understand it in just a normal way. Normal, grammatical, and historical. Thank You for the privilege of meeting together this morning. Use us in these days as You desire. Help us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.